This morning I'm going to do something a little bit different. I did this just before I left for vacation back, and some of you came and I was gone. Okay, but we interviewed Anthony Munoz. Oh, that's right, he's not in this service. And we talked about his changed life, what happened to him when he came to Christ, he and his wife, and how they grew in Christ. And he's now in leadership and he's doing a lot of different ministry. And here's the problem. As a pastor, I see these phenomenal changes in people. A lot of times it's hard or it's too personal. It's something that I can't share. And I'd love to get up here and just shout out all the changes in people's lives, but I can't always do that. But God is at work here. Do you know that? And we want to share when we can how to be able to have you hear what is going on in people's lives where we can talk about it, because there are changed lives. And there's a question that we ask in the world when we're in business, and that is, the initials are ROI. Anybody know what that means? Return on investment, you know, and so in a business, you want to know when you invest, what is your return on investment? Well, really, that's a good question for the church too, right? Because if we're coming to a church just to meet, well, let's just get a barn or let's do picnic tables and let's do that. But we want to see, I know from your giving financially and your serving in this church, we want to see ROI, don't we? We want to see a return on investment. And the problem is, it's hard for you to see it compared to someone who is ministering. And here's the thing. You're supporting this church from a financial point of view, from a relational point of view, even from your labor of love. We are impacting the kingdom of God in a crazy way right now. I've just never seen it quite the way it is. In fact, I was really thrilled because one person came up and talked to me, and they were at one of the fireworks stands. Somebody wanted Christ in their life, and they were able to pray and lead them to Christ. Isn't that great? Yeah. And that person came to Christ here, which is really fun. So I believe that we could do a testimony from time to time. So JR, where's JR? There, come on up. And I'm just going to go through a couple questions with JR. I did this, and from time to time, and by the way, if you would like to give your testimony, let me know. I'll put you on the list, and we'll do this because I want you to hear these changed lives, right? Okay. So, good morning, JR.
Good morning.
How are you?
How y'all? Good. How y'all doing today?
Good. Now, if you go to the local Costco, who do you see there? JR. That's right. So just give us a little bit of your work and you're married and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I work at Costco. I have been married now. It'll be 7 years this October. My wife was a godsend to me. She's really helped me on this path I've been on for the last 10 years. I didn't get to say this in the first service, but just let you know that for 42 years of my life, I went through a lot of alcohol, women, 2 drug addictions, 15 years apart, and 2 suicide attempts. And I have 2 stepchildren, Jessica and Mike. I'm glad I met them now, how I am, because not only am I showing them, but they're showing me the power of the Lord.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. My stepson, who we had a really hard time with and had to have him move out at 18 because he was too hard to handle, has made it out there. And a few weeks back, I told him that, you know, I kind of softened my heart and put down my sword and said, I'm proud of you. Mm. And he showed me something like, I know the Lord looks at all of us, you know, and he said, I'm sorry, JR, I was mean to you, and I love you.
Wow, that's great. Yeah, that's great. And you have a sister and brother-in-law here?
I do. Mm-hmm. My sister is right there, and my brother-in-law. My sister.
Yeah.
My sister is the reason I'm here. That's how I came to Harvest.
Okay.
She knew Eddie Cook, and she gave me 2 choices of churches here in Brighton because my life had changed. I wanted to find the Lord, find His Word, and accept Him, and I needed a church to come to grow. And I was really nervous about where to go because I had some bad experiences mm-hmm. in the past. And something just drew me here. I went right past the other suggestions you gave me, and I came right here.
Okay. So when did you come to know Christ as Savior?
I really came to know Him here 2 years ago, right back there when I accepted Him.
Okay.
I did know Him all my life, mm-hmm. you know, growing up a Catholic. My mom did instill Christ in me, but I never walked with Him. Okay. I was too busy running with the devil instead of walking with the Lord.
Okay, great. What were your challenges with coming to church?
Most of it was that that it fit for me. Mm. I wasn't sure because of other churches that I went to. I just didn't feel comfortable. And so it was kind of a challenge walking through that door, but I felt so welcomed here. You were the first one to walk up to me, and then others, and it's just been great ever since. It's like a pair of pants or a pair of shorts. I'm comfortable in a pair of shorts. Pants, not so much. And this is my pair of shorts right here.
Okay.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, so what difference has coming to Harvest made in your life?
Oh, differences in so many ways. At work, how I am with my fellow employees. I've realized there are a lot more Christians out there, and it's made me feel more comfortable. I've been able to learn more about the Word of God, and it's made me a more approachable person than I used to be. I used to be a very dark person, and okay. It's just
hard to
changed
believe,
my
cause
life.
Because I've only known you.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I seem like a pretty happy guy, yeah. But there was a time, let me tell you.
You weren't.
You know.
Okay, so why don't you explain where you've served so far in church?
I have served here, and okay. I make coffee every other week, as you all know, or maybe not. Mm-hmm. I am an usher and a greeter, and I love serving here. I do.
Good. So what would you recommend to somebody that's just barely come into our church?
To get involved.
Okay.
I know I was, how could I get involved here, and I just kind of, I seen the sign when they needed somebody to make coffee and just get involved.
Okay.
Even in the smallest ways, not just financially, yeah. Or maybe just somebody to talk to. Maybe somebody came up to you and you can talk to them.
You're good. Good.
Just be involved. And I want to thank you all.
Yeah.
Thank you all very much.
And we love you, JR.
Thank you for having this here and supporting it. And I hope for the continued support so other people like me can be up here and testimony.
Good. Good. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. There we go. Isn't that great? I've watched the changes in JR since he's come, and it's just really been neat to watch. Like when he says he was dark and that kind of thing, I've only known him as this happy camper. I mean, he's just always happy. I always see him at Costco and shove my card in his face because you know how you walk into Costco and you got to get them to look at your card before you can get your basket, and so I put it right in JR's face, yeah. Which he appreciates. Excuse me. All right. Does that kind of show you a little bit, doesn't it? Just the impact that we have in Jesus Christ, and that happened. I'm not saying it just does only happens at Harvest. It happens in every church, but I really want you to be able to see those impacts in what's happening in people's lives. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we're going to read together. I've got it up here on the screen. I'm going to read the white, and then you're very enthusiastically going to read the yellow, right? Amen? Okay, here we go. We give thanks to God always for you all, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. Now, the first thing I have to make a point is that we know that Paul came from south Israel. You know why? Because he said, always for y'all. Sorry. I was raised in a southern family. Okay, all right. Paul gives thanks as he constantly remembers their work of faith, because they took up the mantle of faith and did the work of the gospel and became world-renowned. The thing is Paul talks about how they're known throughout the Christian world for what they do and what they believe. And everybody's heard about the Thessalonians because they gave up almost everything. They endured criticism and ridicule and theft and persecution and hardship and beatings and death, and yet they stayed the course. That's why I wanted to teach in this, because it's like they have something we need to learn, amen? And Paul describes it as your labor of love. I love that, your labor of love. And the question I have for you is, what drove them to such commitment and spiritual labor when they were under so much persecution? And from an application point of view, I want to ask you a few questions. What would drive you to that type of strong commitment that you're willing to go to death to serve Jesus Christ? Or what has driven you to have that kind of a commitment, deep commitment in Christ? Now, you listened to JR's testimony. He's on fire for Christ. Is that obvious? Okay. And he wants his family to get involved. He's reconciled with a lot of his family members, and he's continually seeking and praying for those kind of things. He sees nothing except accepting Christ is the answer in his life. And I thought, I had to reflect on my own life, and I thought, for me, coming to the end of trusting myself and not believing in God and then realizing he was there, it created a complete reversal in my life. When I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life, man, I blew up. I did. I blew up. And I think that same thing happened to JR. And I think that same thing has happened to many of you. And I blew up because he loves me. That's one of the first things I learned about the scripture, is God loves me. And you know what that means? God loves you. And I know where I'm going when I take my last breath. I don't think that, I know that. And I want to share some of that today with you. So to start out, what I'd like to do is ask you a couple questions, and they're up here, and what I want you to do is turn to each other and kind of talk about where your commitment is, if you know. Now, here's the thing, okay? Let me make sure we have a basis here. If you don't have a deep commitment to Christ yet, that's okay. Everybody hear me? That's okay. You can talk about it, okay? But what we want to talk about is two things. How did you engage in your deep commitment? Or do you even have that commitment? And turn to each other and talk. And then here's what I want you to do. I want you to come up with a couple words. And we're going to shout those out, a couple words that represent how you got to a commitment. Okay, like mine is sick and tired. Those are my two words. I got sick and tired of being out there without God. Okay, so go ahead and share together. And if you're sitting by yourself, don't be afraid to scoot over to somebody, okay? Okay, now let me give you an option here, that when the service is done, you can continue to talk about this, okay? So can somebody maybe give me a word or two?
Loneliness.
Huh?
Loneliness.
Loneliness. Okay. Good. Broken. Desperation.
Defeating.
Defeating. Huh? Depressed.
Love.
Okay, good, good. Disconnected. You know, isn't it interesting how when we get our words together, they're all, we're at the end of ourselves, right? We need something in our life, and the more we need Christ in the life, the more committed we get, a deeper commitment with Him. And I think what drove the Thessalonians to such a deep and spiritual commitment in labor is that they saw the vision that Paul laid out for them. And I believe it was that view of the mountaintop, so to speak, that vision that they had their eyes on that gave them the reason to endure the hardship, endure the suffering. And if you weren't here for the beginning of the Thessalonians, they were on the Roman road, and the Roman soldiers would come in and trash them out, kill them and beat them and take their food and take their possessions and their women and that kind of thing. And they lived an awful, awful life, something that we don't even experience. And it gave them the reason to endure the hardship. So what I want to do is go through the same passage, but I've translated from the Greek, so I'm going to read it a little bit different. You'll see this up here. That's the one in the print in the Bible, but I'm going to read it, and you kind of follow along with me. Remembering continually your work of faith, or of the faith, your labor of love, and the long patience, the long enduring patience of the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ in front of God, who is our Father. So anytime you see God, it's usually talking about the Father, right? Having known, and in there it says knowing, but it really means that it happened in the past and it still has present ramification, okay? Having known and having been loved, brothers, by God who selected you. In other words, when you put your faith and trust in Christ, He selected you for heaven. Man. Because our good message of Christ did not come to you in word, and it is word in there, but we would say in our own today's present thing, but that Christ did not come to you in words only, but also in power and in Holy Spirit and in full persuasion. And we see that, don't we? As you know what sort of men we were among you for your sake. All right, so what is the ultimate mountaintop vision that they saw? Being patient and being persuaded that Christ was coming back for them. Man. And that the Heavenly Father said He loved them. And He wanted them. And they knew it. Just as we know it when we trust Christ. As soon as you trust Christ, don't you kind of know God loves you? I mean, it's kind of built into us. Which had to be a great comfort for them in the persecution and all of it demonstrated in the power and conviction of the Spirit. And that was their hope in a capsule, Christ and His coming for them. Isn't that exactly our hope? Being ultra loved by God and being ultimately secure in destination, which is heaven. Man, when I got done translating that and I prayed about it and stuff, I started getting goosebumps. You know what I'm saying? You know how the word all of a sudden comes fresh to you again? You've read it before, but it comes fresh. And man, I take refuge in that. You know, and the reason I say that is because we get so bound up in our little petty sins and that kind of thing and in temptations, and we're doing all that struggle. And then do you ever get to kind of the place you're thinking, well, maybe I just didn't read the Bible right? Maybe God doesn't love me so much, or maybe I'm not going to go to heaven because I've done too many things after I've been a Christian. Was it only me? Oh, okay. He chose, he elected, he selected us to be with him in heaven for eternity. Now, who are you to turn that around? And the thing I love about it is it's not based on our works, negative or positive, or our goodness. Amen? I hope you're getting this morning, some of you, because I know you struggle with these things. I remember when I first came to Christ, and I was in California, and I was around the most ungodly people. And I remember saying to God, man, if you can't get me out of this, I'm just going to fall back. I don't know what to do. And it was amazing to see how God answered prayer and what he did in my life. And you may be able to relate to that. I don't know why, but I saw things and I could smell God in it, if you know what I'm saying. And I was, and I'm still convinced that my life is added to his list, that I'm chosen for heaven, I'm a child of God, I'm adopted into his family, and I am unblameable for my sin. And that goes for you too. All because I put my faith and trust in Christ. And I remember when I did that, I felt like I was going to explode. And I did explode. And I've never recovered. I haven't. My pitiful life changed in a moment of time into something that I realized I was dependent on this master of the universe. But we get bogged down, don't we? We get bogged down. And so are you still focused on that mountaintop view that God has of you and you have of God? Or have the little things knocked you down and you don't quite see that right now? That you are his chosen one because you put your faith and trust in him and you've loved him, to say nothing about Jesus Christ, who captured you, and that you're headed for heaven. Or as Paul tells Titus in chapter 2 when he's encouraging Titus, he says, looking for that blessed, and he means those fortunate, happy circumstances, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wow, that is a blessed hope, isn't it? There's our mountaintop vision, our blessed hope. Doesn't matter what happens here, we're going. Thessalonians, it says that he's going to come in the clouds and the brightness of his glory. There's going to be a trumpet that sounds, and the archangel's going to yell, and all the dead in Christ are going to go up, and then you and I are going to go up, and we're going to join Christ forever. And he said, comfort yourself with those words. Well, they are pretty comforting, isn't it? Hope means that we can endure anything that comes along our way because we have eternity in heaven and we have a Christ who loves us and died for us and rose again. And he's the owner of our soul. I love it when Jesus says, they can kill your body, but they can't kill your soul. Don't you love that out of Matthew 10? Or as Colossians 1:5 says, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Or Romans 8:24 says, for we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. And I had said this in a previous sermon, I think last week, when Paul talks about hope, he's not talking about a maybe. He's talking about waiting for what's going to come true. That's what the biblical hope is. And then I think Paul sums it up in such a great way in Colossians chapter 3, starting with verse 1. He says this, if then you were raised with Christ. Have we been raised with Christ? Yeah, Romans says that we died with him, we are buried with him, and we're raised with him. If you then be raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died. Now, if we died, if we've put our faith and trust in Christ, have we died? Yeah, Romans tells us that. We died and buried with him. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Your life is hidden in Christ. And then if that isn't enough, look at verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, oh my goodness, for Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also might appear with him in glory. Oh, did I read that wrong? Yeah, it doesn't say might, does it? Then you also will appear with him in glory. That drove the Thessalonians. I hope that drives us. It's about the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And because of that vision, that mountaintop view that the Thessalonians had, when Paul's talking to Titus, he adds this little postscript. Who, Jesus Christ, gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. You know, you don't have any problem serving God if you blow up in Christ. You know what I'm saying? If your faith is real thin, boy, it's hard to get involved. But when you really make him the master of your life, the boss, the Lord of your life, man, it's pretty easy to serve because what else can we do? I mean, stop and think about it. Is it a job? Is it a new car? Horses? Or house? Or maybe a position of authority? Or leisure time? It's Jesus Christ and him glorified. Amen. Is your hope in Jesus Christ and his coming back for you? I want to stop right here. And I want you to ponder where your commitment is in Jesus Christ. Now, on your bulletin, on the back of it, we have my application. If you will just take that, or if you're sitting with somebody and you only have one bullet and tear off a piece of the bullet, write down what has God spoken to you about today. It may have nothing to do with the sermon. The Holy Spirit may be driving you in a different direction. Write that down and then take it and pray about it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you that we can put our faith and trust in you. And Lord, we as Christians, we get screwed up, we get off base, we kind of get sidetracked. And Lord, I thank you that you're willing and ready and waiting for us to come back and get back on track again. And Lord, I think I can pray for all of us. We want you to be the master of our life, the Lord of our life. Lord, we want you to dictate to us how to live because we've tried it on our own and it seems to fail every time. So as Christians, Lord, help us to depend on you as our master. While our heads are bowed, you may have come and you don't have a relationship with Christ. I want to talk to you for a minute, and the rest of you pray. The Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of God's standard, and we all have. And then goes on to say, but the wages of that sin is death, eternal death. But he goes on to say, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 10:9 tells us how we can have that relationship. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So my friend, if I'm talking to you this morning, and this is the day that you really want to give your heart to Christ, I'm going to pray a prayer, and you just pray it along in your heart with me, and the prayer goes like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart and life and be the Lord, the master of my life. Lord, I believe that you rose from the dead, just as that verse said. And because of that, you rose from the dead for me too. So come into my life and save me today. And may I live for you and serve you. I surrender my life to you. Our heads are bowed. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it this morning, will you demonstrate to God and let me be able to pray for you? Just raise your hand and put it back down that you've given your life to Christ today. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else this morning? Father, we thank you that out of sheer faith in you, we can give our lives to you. We give you the honor and the praise and the glory because you have accomplished it. You are finished. Christ sits at the right hand of you. And now it's just a wait game for us. And in that meantime, we get to serve you. And Lord, may we serve you to our last breath. In Jesus' name, amen.